We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then I hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. The lifeboat soon is coming. By the eye of faith I see, as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, cries the captain, oh look, she's almost here. Oh, now's the time to get on board while she is passing by. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. But the fare has been paid for one and all. Our captain bids you come. So get on board the lifeboat, she'll carry us safely home. So cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here, but we're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home.
Amen. Amen, Brother Caleb. Thank you for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that song. Thank you for the wonderful singing choir. You're doing a great job as well. Thank you so much for your singing, all of you that have jumped in. Those of you that weren't here Wednesday night, Miss Corleen joined the church. What an exciting thing that is as well. Always enjoy it. The week before that, we had Brother Kyle and his wife there. What a blessing that they had. Miss Pearl and them joined the church. Exciting. Loved seeing the church grow. And then we had the Miles come as well. What a tremendous blessing. Listen, we always want to see God doing something like that and working. I don't ever want to just get us four and no more, and always want to be reaching new people, seeing new people come, having visitors come. What a tremendous blessing that is. But let's never forget why we're here, and that's to see people saved, right? To make sure that we see people saved and what God's called us to do and to grow closer in Him. I'm going to preach a message to you this morning. I preached when I was candidating here to pastor the church, and I preached a message during that time, And I'm going to preach that thought to you this morning. And listen, don't throw a stone at me until you listen to the message, okay? The title is going to confuse you a little bit. And when I give you the title, you're going to look at me as if I'm going to preach heresy, but I'm not, I promise. If you'll listen, I promise you the truth is there. 1 John in chapter number 3, 1 John in chapter number 3, and verse number 20, let's stand together. 1 John in chapter number 3, if you stand with me, if you're physically able, out of respect for the Word of God, and want to try to be a blessing and encouragement to you today through His Word, and we always can get an encouragement and blessing. I don't ever want to be guilty of preaching my opinions. I want to preach the counsel of the Lord and the doctrines of the Bible, and that's all that needs to be preached behind this pulpit. We don't need man's opinion, we need the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free, and we'll see that this morning. Again, we say catchy titles as preachers because we want to keep you awake, okay, and keep you guessing on what we're going to be talking about this morning. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 20, the Bible says this, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." See what it says there? If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and look what it says, and knoweth all things. Now listen, I want you to understand, I believe that God is an all-knowing God. Okay? I believe God knows everything. There's nothing that we can ever do that escapes the mind and the eyes of God. But I'm going to preach a thought to you this morning entitled this, Four Things God Does Not Know. Four Things God Does Not Know. And people go, oh, preacher, you just said God knows everything. Now you're saying there's four things He doesn't know. Trust me, it's just a play on words, okay? There's four things that God doesn't know that I'm going to preach to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You so much for the day that You've given to us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to get into Your Word. Lord, I pray that You use this message, Lord, to pierce hearts. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know You as Lord and Savior, I pray they'll trust You today. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise, the honor, and glory for what You're going to do here. Lord, I pray that You'll just bind Satan and the devils of hell from this building. Lord, we claim the blood of Christ that they not be allowed here. Lord, would You not allow the message to be stolen by our sin or by anything inside of our hearts that would hinder Your Word from going forth throughout our life? And Lord, help me to be Your mouthpiece this morning. Lord, I just want to be used of You and be Your vessel today. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 20, it says this, that, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Verse 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Listen, I'm glad that I can know that when I'm saved, I'm saved, because that's what Jesus Christ has done for me. But when He said that in that verse, He said, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." He said, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." I want you to understand there's times of doubt in our life. There's times that we go through valleys in our own lives that we doubt the salvation that we have. Satan makes you think that, well, if you were really saved, you wouldn't do this or you wouldn't do that. But salvation is not based on an emotional experience. Salvation is not based on how you feel. Salvation is based on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And so because of God's promises in the Word of God, we know that there's only one way of salvation, and we're going to see that a little bit here this morning. But what is knowledge? It says that God knoweth all things. So what is knowledge? Knowledge is defined as this, the fact or condition of being aware of something. You understand, God knows everything. He's aware of everything. There's nothing God doesn't know. But in the message this morning, we're just going to play on words, and we're going to say there's four things today that God doesn't know. And so we're going to look at that this morning based on Scripture, and I believe I can prove to you that there's four things, if you play on words that way, that God doesn't know. The first one, I want you to look at Proverbs in chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. I like using titles like this because people sit attentively and listen to think, how's he going to put his foot in his mouth this time? We're going to try to figure out what he's going to say. But in Proverbs in chapter number 6, in verse number 16, the Bible says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thine heart and tie them about thy neck. But he says this in verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. So I'm going to preach this thought to you on four things God doesn't know. Firstly is this, there's not a sin. God doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. God doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. Every sin that God knows of, God hates it. You say, why is this play on words? I just want you to understand that there's no sin that God looks at and says, okay, I'll just be okay with that one. No, it says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And he goes through and gives a list. And guess what? Those aren't all that is required in it. The Bible said, by one man's sin, sin entered in the world, and death by sin. You understand that sin has a penalty. God is holy, is he not? The Bible says so many times in scriptures, he said, be holy, for I am holy. And a holy God cannot excuse sin. A holy God cannot look at your sin and say, well, you're just fine in your sinful state. No, the first thing that God doesn't know is he does not know a sin that he doesn't hate. You understand that sin provoked the wrath of God. Because of Adam's disobedience in the garden, it provoked the wrath of God to bring forth judgment upon sin. And in Genesis chapter 3, God gives his judgment to the sin of man, and man had to work by the sweat of his brow and eat of the fruit of the ground. It said, and thorns and thistles came forth. Not only that, but sin got passed on from that day forward throughout every generation to follow. Why? Because sin just brought forth the wrath of God upon humanity. And God hates sin. You cannot act like if you live in sin that God's going to be okay with it, because God is not okay with sin. God is not okay with you living in sin. In fact, because of sin, there was a penalty for that sin, and all sin has a penalty and has a consequence. All of us are sinners. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fall short of what's expected to get to heaven, and because of sin, sin always has consequences at the end. If you think sin caused Cain to slay Abel, and sin caused Adam and Eve to be kicked out of the garden, sin caused God to destroy the world by water in the days of Noah, sin caused Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed by fire. All throughout the Bible, we read about different sin and how God, in his wrath upon sin, judged sin. Sin is not a joke. You understand that? Sin is what separated man from God. Man was created in the image of God. We were made as a trichotomy. He's God the Father, he's God the Son, he's God the Holy Spirit. We were made with body, soul, and spirit. We were made after the image of God. We were made perfect and holy and just in that time, but man was also given a free will. And because Adam chose to deliberately disobey God, the Bible said sin passed upon all men, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And there's not a person in this room that can say, well, I'm a good person and my goodness is going to get me to heaven. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. And you understand that in sin, a holy God has to have wrath upon sin. He didn't just judge Adam, he judged Eve as well and the serpent altogether. Why? Because all of them are guilty. And if you read throughout the Bible when the Ten Commandments were there, just let me help you with something. The Ten Commandments were not there so that everybody could do a work and keep those laws and end up in heaven. No, they were there to show them they could not keep those things. Are they important? Absolutely they're important. But the fact is, that law was there to show man their inability of keeping, because he said, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. You say, well, I'm not a murderer, but if you've ever told a lie, guess what? Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, the Bible says. Because sin in the eyes of God is sin, and there's no sin that we can call a little sin that God, well, every little sin we would say, have you ever heard the statement, oh, it was just a little white lie? What are we trying to do? We're trying to excuse sin, aren't we? Well, I didn't say the actual word, I just changed one letter of the word. You know, the Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. Why does he say that? Because he said to imitate the world is sin. Right. We're not supposed to be imitators of the world. We're supposed to be separate, coming out from among the world and being separate unto the Lord. See, God had wrath upon sin, and even over 10 righteous, God was willing to spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he couldn't even find 10 righteous. You say, well, God wasn't fair drowning all those people in the days of Noah. You understand if you read how wicked the world was? God was just in annihilating Adam in the garden and saying, no more humans. God would have been just in that. Because God is holy. And God is a holy, righteous God. And a holy, righteous God looks down at sin and does not excuse sin. He judges sin. So there's four things God doesn't know. The first one is he doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. Secondly, he doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love and will not save. He doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love and will not save. You say, wait, preacher, you just talked about in our sin the wrath of God. Yes, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. That means my sin and your sin deserved death and hell that the Bible talks about. See, it talks about how death can be swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But it goes on and says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, even though we're sinners, and even though there's not a sin that God does not hate, he doesn't know of one sin that he is okay with. In fact, every sin in the eyes of God is just putrefying to him. He hates sin. But there's not a sinner out there that God doesn't love and that he will not save. Even though we're sinful, and even though God hates our sin, Brother Dylan, even though God looks at that sin and he realized what it did to his son on the cross, there's not one sinner that he doesn't love and that he will not save. There's people all over the place that say, well, God just couldn't love me because of what I've done. You don't understand all that I've done and everything that I've done even to defy God, and I've even told God that I didn't think he was real at a time in my life, and you don't think there's nothing that God would save me for because of it. I want you to understand this. All sin in the eyes of God is sin, and all ground is level at the foot of the cross. And when he died on the cross and shed his blood, it was for all of the sins of the whole world, not certain sins, not just little tiny sins that you and I would categorize, but all sin. All sin Jesus died for. There's nothing that keeps wicked, sinful men out of hell but the love of God. Just so you understand, the only thing that keeps you out of hell and me out of hell is the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He didn't say some of the world, part of the world. He said all of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love the word whosoever, I'm a whosoever Bible believer. I believe there's not a person on the face of this earth that God will not save if they will willingly call out to him and come to him in their heart and say, Lord, I need you. I want you to be my Savior. If they believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe that there's a person on this word that God wouldn't hear and God wouldn't listen to. Because it's a whosoever will gospel. I'm just going to make a statement just in case there's any confusion. I'm not an elect Calvinistic preacher. You say, what do you mean? I don't believe that there's only an elect group of people that Jesus died for. I don't believe that he only died for the Jews, that he didn't die for the Gentiles. In fact, he died for the sins of the whole world. You say, well, isn't God all-knowing and doesn't God already know who's going to be saved, Pastor? So if God already knows who's going to be saved, what do we go out soul-winning for? I'll tell you why, because he said to do it, first of all. And second off, before you start trying to act like you're him, quit trying to put your mind in his mind and understand this. God said to do this. Why? Because just like if he could find 10 righteous in the city, don't you think God could say, hey, there's a path of destination for each choice that they make, and I'm just going to let them choose it? Don't you think God can do that? Absolutely God can. So before we start saying, well, God can't do this or God can't do that, no, God can do all things. God can do anything except fail. And God knows everything. Except four things. What's that? Well, he doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. He doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love and will not save. So there's nobody in this room that is exempt from that, that can say, well, God can't love me and God won't save me. Well, I'm here to tell you good news today. God does love you and God will save you if you'll just trust him by faith. God does love you. Because nothing can keep me out of hell or you out of hell but the love of God. And God in His great love wherewith He loved us, you understand that the love of God reached way down and picks us up and shows us our need. God has no desire to cast anybody into hell. See, God did not come to condemn us. John 3, go there. I want you to see it. That's not my words. They're God's words. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. We know the verse of Scripture in John 3:16. All of us could quote it probably. One of the most famous verses in all of the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. That's in the Bible too. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. Because He didn't say the right words. Not what the Bible says. Can I help you with something? There's a lot of people going to heaven trusting in a prayer, or think they're going to heaven trusting in a prayer, but they're actually going to hell trusting in a prayer. Because a prayer doesn't save you. The Bible. Well, let's look what the Bible says. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. It's God's words, right? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. You know what he's saying is, Jesus didn't have to come to condemn us. Sin condemned us. Our sin condemned us. That's the wrath of God poured out upon sin is what condemned us. But there was nothing that you and I could do to overcome that condemnation. There's not a work I could do. There's not words I could say. There was no prayer that I could say. Listen, I don't want us to be guilty, church, of relying on what we have called over the years of a sinner's prayer. You say, why? Because there's no really such thing in Scripture. You say, what are you talking about? There's no magic words that I say in order to go to heaven. It's a belief in the heart that who God is, recognizing who God is, and that He was the only one through His Son who shed the blood on the cross, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is what covered our sin, and me trusting in the finished work through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that's what brings salvation, is me believing on Him. So there's not a sin that God doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. But He doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love and will not save. But you know what else He doesn't know? Is He does not know a better way of salvation than Jesus. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You understand that no matter how much religion tries to teach you that there's many ways to God, no matter how much smiley Joel Osteen tries to tell you that there's many ways to heaven and there's many ways to God, let's let God be true and every man a liar, and realize this, that God said there's only one way to get to heaven, and it's not by your actions, it's not by your works, it's not by righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us, and the only way that we go to heaven is putting faith and trust in the finished work through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing He did everything that needed to be done to satisfy the wrath of God that you and I could not do. That's where salvation comes from. And I believe there's people sitting in churches like this all over the place, Pastor Moore, that said, when I was 5 years old, I repeated a prayer with somebody at an altar, and they have no idea what they said, they have no idea what they did, they have no, and they're trusting in words that they said in order to get them to heaven. But you have to understand, there has to be a time in your life that you realize you were a sinner, realize your sin had a penalty, realize that a holy God could not accept sin, and we fall short of the glory of God through that, but because of the love that God had for us, He gave His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross to satisfy the wrath of God for the sins of the whole world through His blood being shed on the cross. And that when He does that, He said this, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Myself. And there had to be a day in your life where you realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior. You felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and you by faith received Him. That's where salvation comes from. There's a lot of people that have gotten down there and said, "Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart, save me, okay, I'm good." If you never felt a drawing of the Holy Spirit, let me help you with something. You've got to come to a place in your life where you realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior. And the Holy Spirit drew you into Himself. And guess what? There's not a person in here that God won't draw. Because He said this, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." If you seek Him, you'll find Him. Understand, God doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. There's no sin that you can justify in the eyes of God. You can't stand before Him one day and say, "Well, I didn't do all this really bad stuff. In fact, my good outweighed my bad. And because my good outweighed my bad, aren't I a good person?" He'll say, "No, depart from me, ye work iniquity. I never knew you." Because God is not a God that looks at your good and looks at your bad and says, "Oh, well then He had more good than bad, so I'm going to let Him in." No, He didn't say that. In fact, He said, "All righteousness are filthy rags unto the Lord." You ever been in an auto mechanic shop and seen their rag bin after they worked on your car? Had grease all over it and their dirty rag bin. Nobody in here would come in and say, "Oh, I'm going to use that as a napkin today." No, you get that grease all over. Carter works at a tire shop, comes home and hands are greasy and things like this. I think, "Son, go wash your hands." "I did, Dad." "Whoa, they're still black. Wash them again." Because you understand that our sin stains, doesn't it? And there's nothing, we can scrub as much as we want to try to scrub, but it's all filthy rags. Just keeps being filthy. But what makes us white? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. See, God doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. He doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love and will not save. See, God does not have a desire to cast any one of you into hell. In fact, if you ever read 1 Peter, the Bible says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, God wants all of you to be saved. He wants all of you to turn from your unrighteousness and wickedness and allow Him to be your Savior. God promised that all who believe on Jesus will have eternal life. Can I just help you with something? Can we quit trying to make the Bible say what we want it to say? Amen. How long is eternal? Forever. Say it loud.
Forever.
Forever. How long is forever? Eternity. Eternal. Those words are synonymous. They go hand in hand, right? How long is everlasting?
Forever.
Forever. So, Brother Guy, let's just do this analogy. God said this, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," right? And then He says this, that "for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's forever life, correct? And this life is in His Son. So, Brother Jason, I stand in heaven one day and I go through the pearly gates and Jesus says, "Whoa, whoa, stop. You can't come in here." Why? Because you did some bad works. And I say, "Well, hold on a second. I didn't get saved based on my works. I got saved based on the truth of the Bible. I got saved based on putting my faith and trust in what You did on the cross. So guess what? If that can't save me, my works can't save me, my works can't make me lost once I'm saved." You say, why? Because Jesus is the one that does everything. So let's quit trying to say, "Well, He didn't really mean everlasting and eternal life." Yes, He did. That's what He meant. Everlasting and eternal. John chapter 10, read it very clear. "My sheep hear My voice and I know them and they follow Me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish."
Amen.
Never perish. The Bible says compare Scripture with Scripture. Listen, I'm not one of these people going to stand up here and say, "Well, you got saved, but guess what? You did something wrong after you got saved, so you're going to hell again." You understand that he would become a liar. And that God would be no better than you and I. And then Jesus would not have any power to save if His words were not true. But guess what? Salvation is not based on you. It's based on the truth of His Word. And when I believe what the Bible says about the gospel, and I believe the gospel and make it mine through my belief, guess what? The Bible says I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Forever settled in heaven. And he said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Brother Guy, there's those people out there that'll say this, yeah, but you can pluck yourself out. Hold on a second. Am I man? Yes. Are you mankind? Yes. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. So if you think you can get out of the hand of God, and you realize that God's hand spans the heavens, all those billions and billions of light years that the scientists are, that would take you forever and forever and forever and forever to even get to them, God can go like this to all of it. And if you think you're big enough to get out of his hand, start walking. Tell me when you get to the end of it. You can't. Why? Because it's nothing about you. And God has never lost anything. See, I'm so tired of people trying to add things to what God said. It's forever. Forever. That's not a license to sin, by the way. Eternal security, people say this, well, preacher, you guys only preach eternal security because you want a license to sin. That's hogwash. Read Romans 6. Throughout the scripture, liberty in Christ is not a license to sin. Liberty is freedom from the bondage of sin so that we can walk in newness of life.
Amen.
That's what liberty is. And so listen, there's four things God doesn't know. He doesn't know a sinner or a sin that he does not hate. He doesn't know a sinner that he does not love and will not save. He doesn't know a better plan of salvation than Jesus, because by the way, there isn't a better plan.
Amen.
And he doesn't know a better time for you to be saved than right now.
Amen.
Listen, tomorrow's not going to cut it. Why not, preacher? You may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, behold, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. See, God in his love, wherewith he had loved us, he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross to shed his blood for you and I. You understand that there's not a, God doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. He doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love and will not save. He doesn't know a better way of salvation than Jesus. He does not know a better time than right now for you to be saved.
Amen.
Because there is no better time than right now. You say, why? Because right now can change your eternal destination.
Amen.
Well, preacher, do I have to wait till invitation? No, you can get saved right now.
Right.
How? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his work on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel. Believe in what Jesus Christ has done and you shall be saved. How can they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You understand, I used a play on words this morning just to try to keep you awake to understand God knows everything.
Amen.
But if we use that spin on words, we understand there's not a sin that God's okay with. He does not know a sin that he doesn't hate. Whether you call it a little white lie or you call it homosexuality, guess what? God hates them all.
Amen.
In fact, do you understand? He puts lying lips on the same category as sodomy. Homosexuality, we all would say, is an abomination before the Lord. And that's what the Bible teaches. But it also says lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. So I want you to understand, you know what he's saying is? Sin is putrefying to God.
Right.
And because of it, in the garden, fellowship and relationship with God was broken. So what had to happen? Oh, I know, man did their own work. Sewed some fig leaves together, and God said, oh, okay, that's good. No. Something had to die. Blood had to be shed. You know why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so that was a picture of the Lamb of God who was going to die on the cross for us one day. And in the Old Testament, guess how they got saved? By faith. By faith. Well, Jesus hasn't died yet. What they had to do? Why do you think they had to bring those lambs as a sacrifice? It was a picture of the belief they were placing in Jesus and what he was going to be doing on the cross, the Messiah that they were going to be seeing one day. It's still by faith, because that's the only way to be saved. Is by grace through faith. That's God's plan, and there is no better plan. But you know what? Shane, God doesn't know a better time than right now. And right now for you to be saved. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, You don't have to wait till tomorrow because tomorrow may never come. And if tomorrow never comes for you and you die today without Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you something. You're not going to open your eyes in heaven. You're not going to float around in purgatory and wait for your ancestors to pray you into heaven. You're not going to be reincarnated as something else. You're going to be right next to the rich man in Luke 16 in torments, begging for somebody to take a drip of water and cool your tongue because you'll be tormented in that flame for all of eternity. Well, God wouldn't do that to me. You're exactly right. God gave His only begotten Son. You do it to yourself when you reject Him. You do it to yourself when you reject Him. So listen, there's not a better time than right now. You know what God doesn't know? He doesn't know a better time for you to be saved than right now. He doesn't know a better plan than His Son Jesus. He doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love and will not save. And He doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. And listen, I know it's just a play on words and God knows everything, but I'm here to tell you today, God hates sin. And because of sin, the wrath of God is poured out on humanity. But Jesus came. Why? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God didn't send Jesus. He sent not His Son into the world. That babe born in a manger wasn't here to condemn you. You were condemned already by sin. But that the world through Him might be saved. Brother Eddie, we have access today to eternal life through Jesus. His love is still there for us. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save. There's not a person in this room that has been so wicked that God will not save you. Listen, if He saved the Apostle Paul, He can save you. And by the way, if He saved the person sitting next to you, He can save you. If He saved me, He can save you. And what better time to be saved than right now?